meeting, if everybody would go around and introduce themselves and say who appointed you, just because we do have some guests today.
Is my microphone on? Is it sound on?
It does not sound on. Pull it closer to you.
It does. Joe says it does.
Oh, okay.
And he's out there.
Okay, super. Thank you. I'm Ellen Schmidt. I'm the ethics committee appointee.
It was in the notice itself.
Good afternoon. Latonya Lipson Smith. I was appointed by the ethics
committee. Carl Devine, appointed by the mayor's office.
Good afternoon. Cherry Pollard. I represent the Office of General Counsel. Say that again.
Okay, good afternoon, Cherry Pollack, and I'm the assigned attorney to the commission representing the Office of General Counsel.
Kirby Overgorfer, Deputy Director, Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight. Carla Miller, Ethics Director.
And again, Darcy Gowner, appointed by the state attorney. We are here to discuss Amendment 12. I know there's been some materials that have gone around to everyone. I had the opportunity to review those. I've talked to Carla a bit. At this point, Carla, I'm going to kick it to you to kind of brief us on the amendment and then have discussion.
Okay, so I know that you've received all these materials, and I won't go over them in detail, except to say you remember we all voted on a constitutional amendment last fall. And this constitutional amendment was on ethics and lobbying restrictions and conflicts of interest. And of all the constitutional amendments, it got the highest vote, almost close to 80%. It was clearly the winner, and people were resoundingly in favor of ethics reforms. Now, where we're at right now is that amendment didn't automatically go into effect. They actually have a section of this amendment where it says the Florida Commission on Ethics shall establish a rule defining what a disproportionate benefit is for conflicts of interest. And they have to do it by October 1st. And so the State Ethics Commission has been having meetings and obtaining comments from all over the state, trying to figure out how to define disproportionate benefit, which is their job. So they have done that, and I have copies of their proposed rule, and probably a few hundred hours went into trying to develop how do you define disproportionate benefit. Like if an elected official gets a benefit, is that just something normal or is that disproportionate? So they proposed Rule 34-18.001. They've had workshops. They've received all kinds of letters and information. They just recently had a meeting on June 7th. And my understanding of what happened at that meeting is they proposed this rule, and then about 50 lobbyists presented themselves saying that, oh no, this rule isn't good. We need to tighten this thing up. You have to have almost a criminal intent to violate the rule in order for this to go into effect. So the purpose of presenting this to the legislative committee is to see if we can discuss it and come up with a position and assist the State Ethics Commission in their attempt to define this. I think it's a really difficult job to do this, and they may have to start with something and then see how it goes, have some court interpretations, and then go back and redraft a rule. I just don't see how you get that type of complexity in one rule right off the bat and make everybody happy. It's just not going to happen. But if we have to choose on who's going to be happy, whether it's all the lobbyists and property developers in the state or the citizens, I'd rather have the citizens be happy. So anyhow, that's just my personal opinion. But I did want to get those materials. If anybody needs to have the language, does anyone want the exact language of this? Let me hand that out to everybody. Cherry, here's a copy.
Thank you.
Take a look at it and see what you think. And what you want to do as far as assisting the state ethics commission.
thoughts, but does anyone have any thoughts they want to share? If you need a second to review it, just let me know.
I have a question, which is the language they propose comparable to language in other similar rules? Do we have any rules that mimic this that we might be able to reference?
Well, there's hundreds of state ethics commission rules. I couldn't speak to that. Like, that's one of the objections that some of the people had, that this should, they can't make up this rule just with a clean slate, that they have to rely upon all of the past decisions and rules of the ethics commission, especially with the intent. What kind of intent do you have to have? Do you have to know that you just did the act, you took the gift, or you took the vacation? Do you have to just know that you did it, or do you have to know and you deliberately intended to break the state ethics law with corrupt intent?
Mm-hmm.
That's a much higher standard. So the lobbyists are arguing for the higher evidentiary standard. So there's probably rules with the State Ethics Commission that go both ways, that have the lower intent and then the higher corrupt intent. There is some for that. So they chose that you just had knowledge that you were doing the activity, not that you had the corrupt intent for this rule.
Thank you.
You can see there's two things that they were taking a look at. One is defining disproportionate benefit, and the other is the intent. Those are the two things that they were tasked with doing.
It seems that trying to define disproportionate benefit is going to be interesting. But, I mean, it did pass with, 78% of the vote. I think it's clearly the voters' intent that they want this made into a law, and we have to try to define that, not us as a commission,
mm-hmm.
but the state commission. And I don't think that we are certainly in a position to try to dig deep and do that. I think that, personally, I think that the State Ethics Commission is probably best positioned to take a crack at this. I think eventually we'll see that case law will ferret
mm-hmm.
out what
mm-hmm.
what sticks and what doesn't, what works and what doesn't. Having a law background, it kind of occurred to me, the whole pornography thing, you can't really define it, but you know it when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how it'll turn out, but I certainly think that we need to support our State Ethics Commission in them trying to figure out how to define this, and both the disproportionate benefit and the intent required.
If you look through your packet, of all the letters coming in from around the state, there are a few letters from people with ethics backgrounds saying, we're in support of the State Ethics Commission on this, and we think your language is excellent, good start. And then the ones from the lobbying firms tend to be 10-page letters, legal memoranda that probably someone spent weeks doing and charged like $50,000 for the association to do. I mean, they're much more sophisticated. But the ones I think that are one paragraph saying, here's who we are, this is our group, and we're in support of it or not, stand for something too without the complicated legal analysis. So, I offer that you don't have to do a 50-page legal analysis of this. It's do we want to do some kind of support for the efforts of the State Ethics Commission and getting this off the ground. I just think it's a quite difficult task that they have in front of them.
There's clearly a reason that folks were willing to spend $50,000 for those
mm-hmm.
opinion letters. The folks that are covered by this were put in office by the voters. The voters clearly said that they wanted this amendment in place. And I think that I applaud the State Ethics Commission for taking a crack at it. If it winds up in court, the courts will deal with it at that
mm-hmm.
point. But I think this is a very valiant first effort, knowing what they have in store. And so I think we should support those efforts.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think with ethics, especially since the people are voting on this or have voted on this, it really is about trusting your gut. If it feels like it's wrong, it's probably wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having a higher standard means that there are going to be lots of loopholes that people can get through and say, oh, well, no, well, really, I didn't have the intent. I did benefit, but I didn't have the intent. So I think that we should support them, and I think we should listen to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the basic rule that's there, not some 20-page long, you know, rule that has to be in-depth with intent and whether you, you know, mens rea. The one thing I didn't understand in law school, I understand now. I completely agree.
Would you pass the microphone down? Thank you.
Sure, microphones.
Yeah, well, that's the only three that are still standing.
So is our goal today at this meeting or later tonight to draft some language to send on? Or would it, is that going to be our goal for today, to put something together?
Well, the legislative subcommittee would procedurally be able to recommend something to the full commission that's meeting at 5. And actually, you have a majority, so even if you showed up and the other people are wrong. So pretty much you can make a determination as to what kind of language, and then when we get to the full Ethics Commission, you can defer to the chair, as we have in the past, to get the exact language that you want to reflect. And so you would be voting in this subcommittee to be in favor or not in favor of whatever, and instructing the chair to draft something.
I was going to say that it feels similar to what you were saying, Moni, of knowing what's right and wrong. I think that, as I understand it, when you say, with knowledge of his or her action or failure to act would result in a disproportionate benefit, I think people do know when they're doing wrong, especially if they've had the ethics training that I would imagine is throughout the state, like we would see, that you would know, and that's a reasonable standard.
Just one additional point, that the Miami Ethics Commission and Palm Beach County Ethics Commission and Tallahassee Ethics Commission are also considering this to support. So we're not the only commission that is considering a resolution in support of the State Ethics Commission.
Does anyone have a motion?
I move that we propose to the chair that he send a letter of support.
Any discussion? Public comment? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Okay, great. We'll take it up at the meeting and get the final approval. And just a note for our visitors that it's state law that before anything gets passed, that the public has a right to comment. And so every time there's a motion, before the motion's voted upon, we always offer public comment. So feel free to say whatever you want.
Okay, I think the only other thing that we may want to address, Carlene, you and I spoke about Bill 393,
mm-hmm.
and I think you had maybe something you wanted to relay to the committee about that.
Right, okay, Bill 2019-393 here locally, and I sent everybody information on this. This is the one, the revolving door,
mm-hmm.
for people on local boards and commissions. And this was not a bill that came from the Ethics Commission. Councilmember Crescenbeny put it together. And he was observing that some members of commissions in the city, they work real hard, like 4 years on the Planning Commission, and then they leave the commission, their term is up, and then they open up the door for, I'd like to represent you in front of the Planning Commission. And they appear in front of the Planning Commission. Hi there, you all remember me? You know, like if someone left the Ethics Commission here, and then the next month you see them coming in front of you saying, hi guys, you know, no, I'm not sitting with you. I'm representing someone. I'm a lawyer. I'm representing this person. Does that give them an unfair advantage? And it's the revolving door question. And with our city council, it's state law with our city council that after you leave city council for a period of 2 years, you cannot come back and lobby the city council. So John Crescent Benny's bill was, well, if it's good enough for city council, then for all the big boards in the city, like all the independent authorities, the planning commission, the ethics commission, any board that has to file state financial disclosure, then why is it any different for them? Good point. It was defeated 2 days ago, like 6-1. And I think that's because we really hadn't delved into it and we didn't lobby it and we weren't behind it. Do you know, I think that if we really studied it and we really talked to everybody about it, it makes sense to have that restriction. And there were a lot of red herrings thrown out at the hearing. Oh, this will ruin people's ability to make a living. Really, you went on that board so that you could go out and make a living on that board? That's not right. So confusion and a lot of that I think that we could handle. The bill was defeated. If it gets defeated next Tuesday, and it's coming from the Rules Committee, 6-1, against it, it means that it can't be brought up for a year. But I talked to Councilmember Crescent Benny, and he's agreed to withdraw it. If he withdraws it, then we don't get stuck with that one-year prohibition about refiling it. So I guess the question for you is whether you want to adopt that as an issue and kind of delve into it a little bit. Maybe we could do some research on some other commissions, what's going on across the state, across the country. Haven't done that research, but I can't imagine that we're the first people to think of something like this. The revolving door is a pretty severe problem. So do you want to take it up, and do you want to pursue this particular concept?
Is it a two-year limit when it's withdrawn? Is it 2 years if the bill is withdrawn from city council? Is that every 2 years?
You don't have to wait at all.
Okay, if it's withdrawn, you can bring it back after it's withdrawn. Okay.
But on the other hand, if it's defeated, like it looks like it's on the track now to be defeated, then we can't bring it up for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Was the resolution, did this commission do a resolution for that thing?
We did. If you recall at our last meeting, we wanted to support Councilmember Crescent Benny because he's been very supportive of all of the ethics initiatives in the city. So we wanted to support his bill, and it made sense. We said, yeah, we support you. Kirby attended that meeting and talked about the Ethics Commission's support, but there was so much confusion on the bill, which means, really, this is obvious, but if you have a bill like that, you have to talk to every individual council person and get all of their like weird ideas and thoughts and what people have told them, and you have to really do an educational end of it. And that had not been done, and then people were just in a state of confusion over it, and then it goes down in flames. But I think that it's a good idea, and I think that it can be developed.
Any discussion?
I'd be behind
it. I do have something to add. I have one thing to add.
Do we need a motion to champion such a thing, or is it just the decision that the committee gets to make among?
I mean, you can take a look at it and say, let's take that up as a project of our committee and research a little bit. And before your next meeting, Kirby and I can dig around a little bit and give you some information. And you might want to propose something that's even a little different than what was on the, if we think with it, maybe workshop it, we can come up with a better idea.
I think that might be a good idea. That we take a look at it and see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it is an issue that is statewide, and certainly
mm-hmm.
in our city, we can address that.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I would add is that before I appeared before rules, I did research some of the other ethics commissions in Florida to see if they had any similar prohibitions, and I couldn't find any. And the other thing I'll add is that there's a specific provision within the state law that allows local governments to adopt such restriction. And some would even say encourages it by putting it in the state law. So there's certainly authority to do so. It just doesn't appear, at least in my initial research, that any local commissions have done so.
That's because we're always the first.
Right, I was going to say, you know, it's like Mother Teresa, right? It has to start someplace. So why not with us? Mm-hmm.
We'll do some research for your group before you meet again and stick around. Someone, if Florida hasn't done it, someone else in the country has. I always look to California and New York. They always saw.
On the cutting edge.
Yeah, they're on the cutting edge. Good. I'll do that.
Does anyone have a motion?
I don't think you.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't need one?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I should get some more digging into it for sure. Okay, so with that, is there any public comment? Any other business? We are adjourned.
And our next meeting starts at 5 o'clock exactly. What time is it?
4:56.
Look at that.
Yep. Perfect. And, of course, it's against the sunshine law to start it even 1 minute early. So we have to wait 4 minutes.